a production of South Dakota.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Taxation. And would the Secretary please call the roll?
Edelstein, Howey, Josted, Maher, Merchant,
here.
Nelson,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Frisley,
here.
Hanson,
here.
There's five.
We have a quorum.
Is that a quorum?
Yeah,
we
do. Yeah. We have a quorum. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
So moved.
Moved by Senator Merchant. Second by Senator Nelson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Just a little bit of housekeeping as we get ready to get started. Once again, I would ask those of you who are going to testify to be sure and sign in at the register by the door. Also, both those giving testimony and those on the committee, be sure to speak right up into the microphone so you can be heard. These proceedings are carried out over the internet live today, and they're also archived for future reference. And it seems like with each passing year, they become more valuable. At least they do to me, for something to be able to refer back to. Anybody who has anything on your body that makes noise, please be sure to turn it off. And we are into the stage of the legislative session where we now have a new group of pages that will be with us for the next 2 weeks. And we have Kelsey Curtis from Peer and Alexandra Alspa from Dupree. Welcome. I'm sure you will enjoy your 2 weeks with us. We also have kind of special significance to me, all the county commissioners that are in the building today, and I have a special friend from Brookings County that go back to childhood days, and also the guys from Britain that we go back almost that far, and several others that I don't know, but welcome. Happy to have you with us. With that, we are ready to open this morning's hearing. We'll hear the bills on the order that they're posted, which is House Bill 1179 and then House Bill 1202. So if we could have the first proponent of House Bill 1179, which is an act to revise certain provisions concerning the period within which tax deeds may be procured. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning. My name is Kristen Konzett. I am representative from District 32 in Rapid City. House Bill 1179 is an act to revise certain provisions concerning the period within two different tax deeds may be procured. Tax certificates currently within Pennington County and six other counties are issued when a property tax owner runs into default after not paying their property taxes. If you live within the city limits, you have 3 years before your tax certificate is sold to a third party. If you live outside the city limits, you have 4 years before they act on this and sell it to a third party. They're sold to the third party in Pennington County, for example, to get revenue to run the county. I was approached by the Pennington County Treasurer's Office with the simple task of making the two issuance dates one date of 3 years. If you live within the city limits or outside the city limits, it is their desire, and a majority of the counties that are currently using this procedure, for both taxes to be issued under one issuance year for both geographical entities, thus eliminating the need for two lists that have to be referred to when tax certificates are issued to the delinquent parties. When I began investigating what they were asking for, they were looking at it completely from an administrative issue point of view. So what I did was a little more digging, and I dug deeper to procure the impact that changing from the 4 year to the 3 year would have upon the residents of my county. Out of the 1,226 certificates issued in 2008 for tax payable in 2009, Pennington County had only 35 of those that were what we think of today as agricultural land. The majority of the recipients that are living outside of the city limits are issued the four-year tax certificate are actually within a very small radius of Rapid City, sometimes directly across the street when the city limits is drawn. Let's see. The county would like to change this because it no longer makes sense to have certificate deadlines different from each other. It is unclear why it was different in the first place, but we think it was initially set up to give agricultural community people an extra year to pay off their taxes, as their home is also their place of business. But as you can see, it is such a small percentage. I think it's 0.025 that are actually issued to what we today think of as agricultural property. They wanted to address this. Landowners are generally not the group that has tax certificates issued against them. They are a proud group of the backbone of South Dakota. So it also concerns usually multi-generational heritage that is tied to that land. To let you know how the tax certificates are issued and what happens in that process, when a certificate is placed on the property, the landowner has been giving a tax notice in January for the prior year's taxes on the delinquent on their property. A delinquent statement is also sent in November. It's published in the paper prior to the sale of certificate in December, and there's ample opportunity given to the party that is delinquent on their property taxes. Once their certificate is placed on the landowner, they still have multiple opportunities to pay. Even at some point, they can petition the county to make payments over, for example, like a payment program. When the next year's taxes are due, their statements go out reminding them that they have prior year taxes owing on the property within the county. If they continue through the 3 years of delinquency or the 4 years at some point, a tax deed or tax certificate action can start. They are given notice again and still able to pay taxes for the next couple months through the course of the action being taken with the third party tax deed procedures. How we're looking at this right now is that it's a law that needs to be changed. It needs to be uniform. Why would the delinquent landowner outside of the city limits have a right to be delinquent one more year on their tax certificates? And we often find that this allows the difference between the 3 and the 4 year. It allows the person that's under the 4 year tax certificates issuance another year to rack up a larger bill. Thus creating more panic, more distress. And to address the grandfather clause, this would not go into effect until July 1st, 2010. Any property owner who has currently had the tax certificate issues will be grandfathered in. So what we're looking for today is, in closing, that you vote in favor of this, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Are there further proponents to House Bill 1179?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Members of the committee, I'm Eric Erickson. I represent the auditors, treasurers, and registrar of deeds within the Association of County Officials. We also rise in support of 1179 for the reasons brought up by Representative Konzik. And would also just like to stress that it does affect the six counties that do tax deeds, but it also affects all of the other counties. They still go through this process. I was also sitting with the treasurers from Brookings, Kingsbury, and Moody County. To their recollection, they have not taken tax deed on ag property. However, they will have a process for people to hold off paying until they get to that final stage where someone is going to take it. And bringing this back to 3 years would make that a smaller hole for them to dig out of. With that, we respectfully ask for your support, and we'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents to House Bill 1179? Further proponents to House Bill 1179? Seeing none, are there opponents to House Bill 1179? Any opponents to House Bill 1179? Seeing none, we will close testimony and open to committee questions. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question of the sponsor, if I may.
Yes.
The way I understand this process, in statute, an interest rate of 10% is set, and the county can charge that interest rate, or the person that comes and buys these certificates cannot charge more than the 10%.
Correct.
My concern, because it's happened in my community where there's been a couple of elderly people, if you look at the average age of landowners, it's quite high. And in my community, there's been a husband and wife that suffered from dementia, but they were able to live on the farm for a long time just supporting each other. I'm concerned about them, especially if they did not have children to step in. When these tax notices come due and they just don't pay them, you know, I have no sympathy at all for the young person. But I'm worried about this elderly person. What assurances is there that the notice that their land is finally going to be sold here after 3 years will get to somebody that's responsible so that they're not forced off their land?
Please.
Mr. Chair, that's a great question, Senator. There is no assurance right now. I have to be quite honest. This is all done via mail. There is nobody that visits the property, be it in the city limits or outside of the city limits. That's my understanding of it.
Senator Gersten.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning. Morning, Representative Condit. My question is just how many people has this affected, and, you know, kind of why are you bringing this? I mean, there must have been some episode or maybe somebody's contacted you, but my question is how many people do you find that this will affect or has affected?
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Thank you for the question. This was brought to me by the Pennington County Treasurer's Office purely from an administrative point of view. Currently, they have to maintain two lists for people that are delinquent in property taxes. They have to have two people that monitor those lists and stay up on it. It is purely across the board. This was brought for uniformity administration. I do have some numbers. For example, in 2009, there were 1,117 certificates sold at, or I'm sorry, 1,117 certificates issued for a total of 1 million, roughly 800,000. Of those, 8 were sold. So I don't know if you'd like a copy of this information. It gives the last 5 years, how many were issued and where we stand right there.
Further questions? Seeing none, we'll close questions and open to committee discussion or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nelson.
Yes, I'm in support of 1179. I visited with my county treasurer at length on it over the weekend. She did a little research and actually found that she thought that the bill itself, or the statute itself, goes back to the 30s when ag land was in distress because of the variety of problems that we're having with the economy and the dust bowls, et cetera. But this would bring uniformity to the county treasurer's office. And also, and I think a big part of it, in a certain amount of response to Senator Peterson's comment, was taking away that fourth year of additional fees, interest rates, et cetera. It just makes it all very uniform for the county. And again, Representative Consett said that all of this is handled by mail, but I will offer that I know in my county there are people that go out and knock on doors to make sure that they are well aware of their tax situation. So I'm in favor of this, and with that, I would move due pass.
Okay, we have a due pass motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Merchant. Any speaking to the motion? If not, those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Edelstein. Howie. Josted.
Aye.
Maher. Merchant.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Frisley.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
3-5, 5 yes, 1 no.
Okay, House Bill 1179 will go to the floor on a 5-1 motion. That brings us to House Bill 1202, which is an act to provide for assessment of certain agricultural land as non-crop land. And may we have the first proponent of House Bill 1202, please. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Senator Jim Peterson, District 4. 1202 deals with a problem that's existed for a long, long time. It existed under the old method of establishing values for ag land, and it still exists under the new method of establishing values for ag land. You know, over the years, I've tried to address this problem. Had several bills, had a bill when I was in the House that tried to address the problem where it stated that the Director of Equalization could consider the difference in value, cash rent value, between tilled and non-tilled. And that was defeated at that time. And then the next year, we had a summer study concerning the valuation of ag land, and we had Senate Bill 1, which was passed at that time. And although that's worded a little bit differently, it basically does about the same thing. It tells them that they can take into consideration the productivity of the two different types of property. But since we went to the productivity method of assessing ag land, we, with this new piece of legislation, which goes into effect this year, we are establishing a value for the tillable ground using the value of the crops on Olympic 8-year average. Then in the bill, because the West River guys wanted it that way, we established the value for the non-tillable ground using cash rents. So we have two different methods here, but we do not have a clear-cut way of establishing what is non-tillable ground. We're still using soil typing. And to give you an illustration of what soil typing does, I would ask that you look at the handout. This is a piece of ground that's in Grant County, Adams Township. And if you will... The top of the map is north, and there's a railroad track running through the corner of the ground, if you would look at that chart. And everything in white up there, you can see the outline, that's tillable. This piece of ground is about half tillable and half not tillable. And it's been in the same ownership now for over 50 years. And you'll see in the southern part of that half section, there's a creek that runs through it. And this has the bottom elevation of that creek is probably 30 to 40 feet below the average elevation of the rest of the land, and then it slopes down to it. Now, if you look at the soil types are listed here. I've superimposed a soil map over the top of the ASC map. You can see that the same soil types run into the non-tillable ground. One of you probably has a handout that I was going to use that has numbers on it on the front page. No, on the front page. Well, it doesn't matter. It starts out with some lower classifications for the west end of that pasture ground. And then when it gets to the east half, the east quarter, you see the soil type LA, which is the best soil type on that whole piece of ground. And the last page shows you the ratings in bushels of corn yield for the different soil types. And this varies from county to county. Each county has the best soil type has a number of one, and then it diminishes down to the poorest type. But the best piece of ground there, according to this map, is right along in that pasture along that creek, which is on very sloping ground that can't be tilled. That's in native pasture, that part. Now, the second map shows you in color of the different soil types, so it stands out and it's easier to see. And then you can see what I'm talking about, where it's properly labeled to the west half, but it isn't on the east half. Now, this is just one map of 1,000 maps that I could bring in Dual County. Dual County was one of the last counties to go to soil typing. They went to soil typing in 2003. They had 277 appeals. Kingsbury County, I think, had the same experience when they went to soil typing. So there's a problem that exists. We say that we're supposed to use cash rent. Cash rent for pasture, but yet we're using soil types. And so a lot of land that's being classified as tillable is actually non-tillable ground, and a lot of it has native pasture land on it. And somehow we're going to have to face this problem. Representative Noem and I brought these bills. She introduced 1202 in the House, and then I killed the Senate version, 172. She did an excellent job over there. It came out of committee 14-1 and passed by a pretty good margin on the House floor. Now, in a conversation that Representative Noem and I have had with Michael Kenyon, he feels that he can do this administratively and like a little more time. And we just want to get this accomplished. So we're willing to kill this bill. But the goal has to be that at some time or another, there has to be equity for equalization on ag land amongst farmers. We're not talking about trying to shift any value to any other class of property, because I don't feel that that would occur. For one thing, in the bill that we passed, we said there would be an adjustment in the mill levy, you know, if ag land didn't go up as much as the other classes of property for general school funding. The shift, and it's a fair shift, the shift has to occur within a county. You have the same total value on ag land in that county, but we have to be properly identifying the pasture ground and the ground that's tillable. Because when you look at cash rents, in my area, now the cash rent, the average is probably around 100, and there's some that's quite a bit higher, and there's some that's lower. And the average pasture rent is around $35. And $35 pasture rent in Dual County, and they're paying $15 in taxes on a lot of this because of the misclassification. Somehow we have to address this, and I believe Michael, I think they can do it administratively. I think we've passed enough pieces of legislation. Senate Bill 1 that was passed in 2005, I think does give him some direction and latitude to be able to make these adjustments administratively. And therefore, Mr. Chairman, even though we've seen a lot of emails supporting this, and Representative Noem did such a good job on her side, I make a motion to table 1202.
Okay, thank you, Senator. I will accept that. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to table by Senator Peterson, seconded by Senator Maher. That's a non-debatable motion, so those in favor of the tabling motion will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein? Howie? Joestad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, House Bill 1202 is laid on the table.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate, I would like Mr. Kenyon to make a couple of comments concerning the problem that we have.
I'd certainly welcome that, because I think that this is an issue that is an important issue that it continues forward, and I wouldn't want for you to come before our committee and not have an opportunity to be able to speak.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. And I think Senator Peterson very accurately gave you the history of this. I mean, he has worked on this problem along with Representative Noem for many years. He has been a leader on this issue, and this bill did come up in the House Taxation Committee with Representative Noem, and I opposed the bill there. And after I dusted myself off the tire tracks as the committee rolled over me, you know, we started to talk a little bit more. And, you know, my take on this bill is that The legislature has done their part. The legislature has done their part. This is a significant problem. It is a serious problem. And as Senator Peterson said, it's about equity. It's about a fair tax system. But the legislature has done their part to fix this problem. The legislature has given our directors of equalization all the tools that are needed to address this problem. With the passage of the productivity valuation system, we've got all the tools to fix it. So we think that this legislation was premature at this time. We don't think that it's needed. If we don't get this problem fixed within 2 to 3 years, I know that this bill will be back in one form or another, even if Senator Peterson isn't back. And I know what happened in the House. So we're going to work very hard to try to address this problem.
Thank you, Mr. Kenyon. I believe that this brings us to the point in our hearing to a motion to adjourn would be appropriate. Moved by Senator Merchant, second by Senator Gerstead. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. We will next meet on Wednesday at our regular time of 10 o'clock, and that will be day number 27. So.